Good preparation. Matthew 6, beginning with the first four verses and then skipping over to verse 19 and reading to verse 24. Matthew 6. Be careful not to practice righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, that your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And then skipping over to verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal, for there your treasure is. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Have you ever regretted something that you bought? Yeah, most heads are shaking. Better yet, have you wished that you'd never bought a certain thing that you thought was the cat's meow until you actually owned it? You guessed it, I have. The most notable in that department for me were cars. One car we were driving when we moved from Ohio to Pennsylvania in 1986, and the other was the van that we drove as we moved back to Ohio from Pennsylvania 19 years later. The former was a Renault Alliance, and the latter was a Kia Sedona, a van. Both of them were must-haves when we bought them. And both of them took us to the brink of financial ruin. And while that's a little exaggerated, it's really not too far off the mark. Yet, when we were looking at buying them, and Kathy would say, as I was looking at buying them, both promised so much. The Renault was a 1983, the year the Alliance was the Motor Trend car of the year. Motor Trend should have been ashamed of themselves. The car was a money pit. And to think I just had to have it. You see, I'm taking responsibility. I just had to have it. Because we supposedly needed a four-door car so that Sheila's car seat could fit in it. Sheila had just been born in 1984, and we found this wonderful Renault Alliance at some dealership in Mansfield, and so we purchased it. It cost us money after money after money. As a matter of fact, when I traded it in, I took it in and I said, take this off my hands, please. And then as I drove it to trade it in on the wonderful little car that we got to replace it, the transmission literally blew a hole out the side. And I had to have it towed to the dealership, and I paid them $1,000 to take it. This car, it was like, My blood pressure rises just preaching about it, okay? The Kia van was Kia's first attempt to make a van. Too bad they utterly failed in the process. Too bad Kathy and I didn't realize that it was a failure until we had sunk literally thousands of dollars into it. I'm not kidding. And we just had to have it because our perfectly good Jeep had varnish on the oil dipstick, which is allegedly a sign of engine failure. It didn't seem to be failing, but somebody told me that. Well, the only failure was me, and it was because I was the dipstick who believed that fairy tale. And you bet I've regretted these and other purchases. We had that van until about 2010. You remember that money pit. Okay, enough of that. But do you know what I've never regretted? I've never regretted or wished back the money that I've sent to Compassion International for two children in Ecuador who we got when they were 3 and 4 years old, and we supported them until they aged out, as they call it, and they're now young adults living and serving in Ecuador. And we don't regret the little children in Kenya that we presently support. This is one of them. Her name is Bridget. And it's really cool because when we got them, they couldn't write. They weren't even in school. And now both of them write really wonderful letters to us that they've written themselves by their own hand. We've never regretted dropping our offering in the plate at any church that we have attended. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying we don't regret this. We've never regretted the money that we've given to Ashland Care Center or Joy of Living or any of the young people that we've seen go into missions from this church and from other churches. We've never regretted anything that we've given to any ministry. And there's been times where we have thought, oh, well, you know, maybe that wasn't utilized the way that we thought it was going to be utilized. I would rather err on the side of generosity, not stupidity. I would rather err on the side of generosity. So I've never regretted what I've given because what I give here, what we give here, and what we give to ministries don't come back to haunt me like the lemons masquerading as reliable transportation that I've owned. I never say that I wish I hadn't given, because I don't think that way about my giving to the kingdom. And besides, as we've already seen in this study, what happens when we give, we know that what we give is always an investment in the kingdom. And the return we receive is out of this world. That's where the benefits come from. The world just doesn't understand that about Christ followers. They think we're crazy. But we're the sane ones. We just see things through the eyes of God. And because we see through the eyes of God, we see things completely differently from what the world sees. For one thing, we know, as I say over and over and over again, that you cannot outgive God. We know that. We know that when we give, He will take care of things. We just see what God is up to as we invest in His work. We are living proof that we gain a new perspective when we give. Let's take some time and look at that. First, take a quick look at that passage that we heard from Proverbs that Keith read. Just a short little snippet from just two verses of Proverbs that Keith read earlier. It's important that our effort is spent in the right direction. The writer says, don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Jesus is saying essentially the same thing in what we read from Matthew. But the writer of Proverbs says, don't wear yourself out to get rich. Anything we strive for in the area of earthly belongings is just a puff. And they're gone. It's like anything on earth, including ourselves, nothing lasts forever. Not mortally. When I was young, we had a neighboring dairy farmer whose barn burned down. I remember, I was very young, I remember that it was fast and it was furious. I know that the whole night sky on a Saturday night lit up to the northeast of us. It was the barn was fed by, it was a summertime, it was dry summer heat and tons of hay and straw. That farmer replaced the barn with a newfangled construction concept back then. The new structure was this newfangled stuff called aluminum. And he filled that barn, that new barn, up with hay and straw. And he began milking his cows in that barn as he had the other one. And it wasn't too long, so I don't know. But this is when I was young and I didn't think about insurance. And I don't think he had insurance. But it wasn't too long that that new barn burned to the ground as well. And that fire, too, was fast and furious. And the aluminum actually melted down. All his investment was gone in a terribly short time. The writer of Proverbs had no idea what aluminum is. But he was spot on when he wisely said, cast but a glance at riches and they're gone. That farmer never rebuilt. I was young and not privy to such information, but I believe that he left farming completely. Don't wear yourself out to get rich, is what the writer of Proverbs says. And what Jesus implies, instead, what the people of God find is that treasure is found in emptying yourself. We see this in the text that I just read, which is from the Sermon on the Mount, which I preached through a number of years ago. But it was the Sermon on the Mount, but it could, in this case, could truly be seen as the Sermon on the Mount. Giving shows righteousness, as we'll see in a bit. It's not to be done for the accolades. Jesus is saying, don't do it for the looks that you get, because we do it because of the fact that it's simply right and it's the godly thing to do. Instead of puffing ourselves up, our fulfillment comes from sacrifice. As we empty ourselves, God cares for us and we care for others. The author of my little resource book that I've been talking about for the last month, this is the fourth message, we have one more next week. In this little booklet, What Happens When We Give, the author of that writes, using resources for a cause greater than us gives us a perspective few other things will, a perspective we need, a perspective at odds with much of the world. It shouts that there is more to life than having and attaining. It whispers of the lasting value in selflessness, in foregoing, in doing without, and doing so with purpose. Jesus affirmed giving. And Jesus spoke more about giving and about money than a lot of other things that he preached about. And Jesus affirmed giving, and especially giving to the poor. But how you do that giving is important. And we find as we empty ourselves, we are filled. Yes, as we empty ourselves, we are filled. And that's why giving isn't for show-offs. Jesus actually begins his teaching on this in verse 1. He says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. The Jewish law from its very inception gave direction for what one was to bring and place in the offering plate or the offering basket. It was the expectation for a follower of God to be a giver. If you are the child of God, you are to be giving. That's the expectation. That's just accepted. But over the centuries, the practice had waxed and waned. Sometimes the gifts brought into the temple were extensive, and other times, not so much, almost non-existent. Kind of like today, where the statistic that I just heard this past week is that American Christians give right at or a little less than 2% of their income to the church. One way the religious leaders of the day promoted the bringing of offerings and caring for the poor was to make a big show of it. Okay, if I'm going to do this painful thing, I'm going to get some credit for it. As rich people brought their offerings, they came with fanfare. Jesus said, don't do it with trumpets, because apparently that was happening. And that's why in Luke 21, the passage that we used a couple weeks ago where we were talking about the widow, the rich people came giving out of their abundance, and it seemed that they did it with great showiness, while the poor widow slipped up. She slipped in quietly, and she dropped in all that she had, 2 little copper coins. But why do we do anything? Is it because it's right, or is it because others are watching? Jesus says the eternal reward goes to the one who gives in mercy and in humility. Plain and simply, hypocritical giving is not becoming to a Christ follower. Jesus calls for authenticity. Jesus used the word hypocrite intentionally because it denoted play acting. The picture of a hypocrite was of an actor, of one putting on a mask. Jesus didn't want us to fake benevolence. He wanted genuineness and he wanted integrity. He wants his followers to see the need and quietly care for it. In other words, he's saying, get your heart involved. Get your heart involved, because generosity comes naturally from a renewed heart. That's why the world doesn't get Christ-like generosity. That's why they scratch their heads when Christ followers turn their backs on lucrative careers and go into ministry. I remember, and I may have shared this with you before, but I remember how when I was a junior in high school, I was painting a farm for a local dentist, and I was doing his entire property. And it was right at the same time that my brother-in-law, Morris, was going to Navajo Mission to be the physician at the clinic that we had there. And so he was packing my sister and their 2 little boys up, and they were moving off as doctors into missions in New Mexico. And on the day that they were leaving, it was in like probably early August of 1974, Beth and Morris were packed up in their car, and they came, and on their way out of town, they came to say goodbye to me and to my younger brother, Steve, who was working there as well. And they came, and Doc Huntsberger was standing there, and he greeted them too, and I introduced them, And we said our goodbyes. We got our hugs and our kisses from our big sister. And as they drove away, Doc said, he just could not have it that Morris was throwing away a career as a surgeon to go into missions to be a doctor. He could have had so much money, he just could not understand it. And that spoke to me. But the thing is, Morris and Beth never looked back. They never looked back. God promised, they did mission service. And ever since then, even though Morris served in missions for a number of years and then came back and had a practice in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, over those years, they have frequently gone on mission trips, and they still do. They go and spend weeks in Kenya working at various clinics and working with missions. They have in turn shared the prosperity that they got with huge generosity in more than just missions. The world just doesn't understand a changed heart. They don't understand being sold out for Jesus. And even if they've heard it 1,000 times, they know in their heart of hearts, but they don't seem to grasp that you cannot take it with you. Okay? They know it. They know that there's not a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. But they still seem to think that you need to hang on to whatever you can get. So how is it with your heart? Ask yourself, is my first loyalty to stuff or is it to God? What do you love? Jesus tells us we will serve one or the other. And the truth is, spiritual allegiance is greater than material security. Your spiritual, what is happening in your heart, who you serve, will serve you infinitely better and eternally better than material security. Jesus points out in verse 19 that we need to invest in heaven rather than in earth. He says, stop storing up for yourselves. My friend Jim actually became rich by building storage units. And he built, I probably told you about this, he built storage units, he saw a property, he built the units on it for $250,000 and sold it for $1.5 million 3 years later. And I said, Jim, why is it so lucrative to have storage units? Because they're all over the place. And he said, Keith, Americans just have too much stuff. My friends in Kenya, Elam and Francisca, had everything they owned, clothing, table service, and some of their cooking utensils. Most of their cooking utensils and pans were out on a table outside where they did their dishes out on the table behind the house. But they had everything they owned, clothing and table service, in a hutch that was once a china closet, this wide, this high. Everything they owned, not a storage unit. And they were happy, and they are happy. And they could certainly use more, okay? They struggle for every day. They go and look for the food they will need every day because they don't have a refrigerator. But they're happy, and they're serving Jesus. And we have thousands of feet of square footage in storage and we need more. I built a 31 by 32 pole barn, and the man that helped me build it said, yes, but you'll need more. It kind of became true after a while. That's why Jesus tells us to be single-minded. He said, don't have double vision. Don't get torn up between God and stuff. You can't. He said, you can't serve God and mammon, which was an Aramaic term for money and possessions and kind of the everything all wrapped in one. Earthly stuff. Let's not have double vision. We can simply not serve God and stuff. We need a change in perspective. A good way to summarize this talk is a quote from G. Campbell Morgan. It truly shows us the kind of perspective that Christ followers need. He writes, "Let us make such a fortune that when at last we come home, we shall be greeted by the friends that we have helped to reach home. Let us rather have our fortune on the other side than on this side." That's what Jesus is meaning about storing up treasures in heaven. As we pour into the lives of people who need Jesus, they become the treasure that Jesus is seeking. We're investing in their lives. So get a new perspective. Lay up the treasure that's eternal. Amen.